Today we're going to be looking at and answering the question, what does God own? What does God own? Now that I've come to Christ, now that I may be thinking about coming to Christ, what will God own and what does God own? Okay. Vamos a contestar esta mañana la pregunta en este mensaje de qué es lo que Dios posee. ¿De qué es dueño Dios, verdad? Si yo soy un cristiano o estoy pensando hacerme seguidor de Jesús, ¿qué va a ser dueño el Señor? ¿De qué va a ser dueño Él? ¿De qué le pertenece al Señor? What belongs to Him? We need to answer that question. So if God is our Lord, what does He own? Si Dios es nuestro Señor, entonces, ¿de qué es dueño Él entonces, verdad? So, first of all, let's go in our notes, okay? If you're going to follow along, and we're going to fill these in. First of all, we need to understand that the Bible clearly states that the Lord owns me, okay? Tenemos que entender que en las Escrituras que el Señor es dueño de mí, ¿eh? De mí, de mi cuerpo, de mi alma, de mi espíritu, ¿eh? And that includes, you know, my soul, my body, my spirit, okay? He owns me. And we're going to have two reasons, okay? Two reasons that we covered before. Son dos razones por cual él es dueño de mí, yeah? First of all, he owns me because he created me, okay? Es dueño de mí, me posee a mí porque él me creó, hermanos, ¿eh? Él me creó. How? Or why? In his own image, if you remember in Genesis, he made me in his own image. Yeah? Me hizo con su propia imagen. And that's a special creation, okay? Nobody like that, no animal like that. We are specially his. Somos especialmente de él, porque no hay otro animal que fue creado en la imagen de Dios. And number two, he owns me because he bought me. Y es dueño de mí y me posee a mí porque me compró, hermanos. Me compró con su propia vida, with his own life. If we look at the gospel, you've been paid in full. With his blood. Tú has sido comprado completamente, sin fianza, con su sangre. ¿Eh? Y todo el que cree en él, le viene ese beneficio. Todo el que cree en él, para obedecerlo. Recuérdense, fe es creer y obedecer. If you remember last week, faith, coming to Jesus in faith means to believe and to obey. You can't have one without the other. You can't obey and not believe. You can't believe and not obey. So they both come together, and that's how we are completely his body and full, brothers. You need to come down and really think about that one day. Wow, God owns me. Hay que pensarlo bien, meditar en esa verdad. Mira que Dios es mi dueño. Me posee a mí. Yo soy de él. Me compró, fíjate. You should feel special for him to shed his grace in your direction and by you when you were a sinner. Fíjate. ¿Qué tan especial somos que Él derramó su gracia en nuestra dirección y nos compró cuando aún éramos pecadores? Cuando aún éramos pecadores, nos compró, fíjate. Qué bonito. Qué amor tan grande. What great love there is right there from the Lord. So these are two reasons, brothers, that He owns us. La dos razones por cual Él es dueño de nosotros. And now, brothers, let's look at a story in the Bible. A story of the rich farmer, okay? Vamos a ver la historia del granjero rico que vamos a ver en la Biblia, hermanos, en Lucas 12. We're going to look in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16, Lucas 12, versículo 16 al 21. And we're going to look at some of the truths that are hidden here, brothers, for us to understand. Yeah? Es para que nosotros entendamos nosotros qué tan dueño es Dios sobre nuestra vida. Yeah? So let me read first verse 16, Dice en el versículo 16, and he told them a parable, saying, a land of a rich man was very productive. Brothers, this is God blessing the land, okay? Was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Okay? Let me jump to the Spanish. Dice, también les refirió una parábola diciendo, la tierra de un cierto hombre rico había producido mucho, hermanos, la bendición de Dios. Y pensaba dentro de sí, diciendo, ¿qué haré ya que no tengo dónde almacenar mis cosechas? You know, that's got to be very wonderful blessing for the Lord. You don't got room to for them. It's just too much. Yeah, es demasiado la bendición de Dios que no sé dónde ponerlas. Fíjate. Verse 18. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good goods laid up for you for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Dice en el 18, entonces dijo el rico, esto haré, derribaré mis graneros y edificaré otros más grandes y allí almacenaré todo mi grano y mis bienes y diré a mi alma, alma, tienes muchos bienes depositados para muchos años, descansa, come, bebe y diviértete. Pero Dios le dijo, necio, esta misma noche te reclaman el alma y ahora, ¿para quién será lo que has provisto? Así es el que acumula tesoro para sí y no es rico para con Dios. Some observations, brothers, here. If you look at the yellow words here. First of all, God has blessed the farmer with much. Miramos observando aquí ciertas cosas, el versículo 16, que Dios bendijo al granjero con mucho, hermanos. Con mucho, dice aquí. Su tierra la bendijo Dios. And the farmer thought that all that he had was only his. Miramos que todo lo que él tenía, este granjero, creía que era solo para él. Mira lo que dice en el 17, ¿verdad? It says here, look what he says, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? He thought all of this was only for him, okay? Decía él, ¿qué haré ya que tengo, no tengo dónde almacenar mis cosechas? Era todo, no estaba tomando a Dios en cuenta. He wasn't taking God into consideration after God blessed him. Yeah? So the farmer was going to build bigger barns and for his possessions, but God had said, you're a fool. Yeah? El granjero iba a edificar más grandes lugares donde almacenar sus cosas, pero Dios le dijo que era un necio. We see that he forgot that he had to give an account to God. He said, you fool, down at the bottom. Yeah. Verse 20, he says, this very night, your soul is required of you. Necio, le dijo, esta misma noche te reclama el alma. He was going to die. Iba a morir esa noche, fíjate. And God was basically saying, you don't understand, my son, rule number one of lordship, that you are mine. Your soul belongs to me. What God's telling him. He thought, oh, my soul. He thought his soul would belong to him. He's going to tell his soul to have a good time now. No. His soul belongs to the Lord. Yeah. Y le dijo Dios aquí que era necio porque él no entendió la regla número uno del señorío. Le estaba diciendo Dios a él, tú eres mío, tu alma es mía, no es tuya tu alma. ¿Tú crees que tú vas a disfrutar todo esto y te vas a gozar y descansar? No, tu alma es mía. Yo la reclamo esta noche. Yeah. He forgot he had a Lord. Se le olvidó que tenía un Señor allá en el cielo. Brother, and that's talking to us today. We ought to live like we got a Lord over us in heaven. Tenemos que vivir como que tenemos un Señor en el cielo nosotros, hermanos. And you don't get to build barns or anything like that. I'm collecting your soul. No vas a hacer ni una más almacenes o nada de eso. Yo te voy a reclamar esta noche. So, listen, brothers. Don't forget to accumulate eternal riches with God. That's something he didn't do. Everything he worked for was for himself. ¿Eh? La lección para nosotros es no olvides acumular riquezas eternas con Dios. Él se fue pobrecito a la siguiente vida. Sin nada, porque todo lo dejó. He left everything behind, brothers. He went with nothing to the next life, whether it was in hell or whether it was in heaven. It doesn't say, but he was going to be poor, brothers. Él iba a ser pobre porque no estaba rico con Dios. He didn't use his possessions for the Lord. And when you use your provisions for the Lord, you send them up there, okay, to the Lord. and they multiply and they grow, okay, for you when you get there, okay. Entonces cuando nosotros invertimos nuestras riquezas en la tierra, lo mandamos adelante para que nos espere allá en el cielo a nosotros y que no lleguemos con nada. Y Jesús estaba indicando claramente que Él no mandó nada hacia adelante. Jesus clearly saying that He didn't send anything out ahead of Him to wait for Him in heaven. Nothing, because He thought He forgot He had a Lord. Se le olvidó que tenía un Señor. So He owns us, brothers. Él es dueño de nosotros. He not only owns me, but secondly, brothers, He owns all my possessions. Entonces, tenemos que entender, solo es dueño de mí y de ti, pero es dueño de todas nuestras posesiones que nosotros tenemos. And that is one of the hardest things for people to understand who claim to follow Christ. Okay? Es una de las lecciones más duras que le entra en la cabeza a todo aquel cristiano que dice que él cree en Jesús y lo está siguiendo. Es duro acordarse o creer que Dios es dueño de todas mis posesiones también. Oh, yeah. Let's go on. Let's prove this. Vamos a probar esto, ¿verdad? Entonces, first of all, we need to understand He owns it all, okay? According to Psalm 24:1. Como dice en el Salmo 24:1, Él es dueño de todo, 100%, 100%, brothers. Look, only on just one verse, brother. We have many verses, but this one is pretty clear. Muy claramente aquí nos dice, yeah? The earth is the Lord's, okay? Planet Earth is the Lord's. And all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Even brothers, unbelievers are His. Because He's going to judge them. Okay? He's going to judge them because they were His to judge. Yeah? Entonces el Señor dice aquí, Salmo 24:1, del Señor es la tierra y todo lo que hay en ella. Yeah? El mundo y todo y los que en él habitan. Él es dueño de todo. He's Lord and owner, brothers, of everything. Okay? And that, if we want to apply this truth, brother, that means He's owner of what everything I own. Si lo voy a aplicar apropiadamente, hermanos, tenemos que entender, es dueño de todo lo que tengo y todo lo que tienes. Now, how do we live in such a way that it shows that He is Lord over my possession? That's what we're going to learn today, too. Hoy vamos a ver cómo podemos vivir en cierta manera que demuestra que Dios es Señor sobre mis bienes. The rich farmer, brothers, he lived in such a way that the Lord was not. He didn't show with his life that the Lord was Lord over his all that he possessed. He didn't show it. And so there was consequences. Había consecuencias para el granjero rico que vivió en tal manera que no demostró que Dios era el Señor sobre sus bienes. We don't want to make the mistake. No queremos hacer esa equivocación nosotros. So, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. We're going to look at that story, that parable. Vamos a ver la parábola donde la Biblia dice que el reino de Dios es como un mercadero que busca perlas finas. Okay? But we have two of them stuck together, so we're going to look at the first one too. It's in Matthew 13:44. It starts with someone who found treasure. And this is like finding the fine pearls, okay? Vamos a empezar con el que estaba buscando, que halló un tesoro. Y luego vamos a mirar las perlas, yeah? Let's read this. Vamos a leerlo. First, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is teaching, is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid again. And from the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has. Understand that, brothers. All that he has and buys that field. Okay, I'm stopping right there. Dice, el reino de Dios de los cielos es semejante a un tesoro escondido en el campo que al encontrarlo un hombre lo vuelve a esconder y de alegría por ello va y vende todo lo que tiene. Ahí está la cosa. ¿Ven? Vende todo, no parte, no casi todo, todo lo que tiene y compra aquel campo. ¿Por qué lo compró, hermanos? Para ser dueño del tesoro que estaba ahí, escondido. Now, he went and bought that treasure, brothers. He went and bought that land because he knew there was a treasure hidden there. Right? That's why he sold everything. To get the land because he knew what was on the land. He knew the value of that land. Okay? The hidden value. And then also, let's move on to the next part. Again, The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, okay, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that pearl. Y el 45 dice aquí, y el reino de los cielos también es semejante a un mercader que busca perlas finas, y al encontrar una perla de gran valor, fue y vendió todo, hermanos, todo lo que tenía y la compró. Compró la perla. Now, let's look at some interpretation, brothers. Okay? Look at some interpretations here. First of all, Jesus is the pearl. Jesús es la perla. Él es el tesoro. He is the pearl. He is the treasure. Okay? That every believer finds when they come to Christ, and in Christ find forgiveness of sins, find a transformed life, find eternal life given as a free gift, find themselves adopted by the Father as a child of God. They find the treasure that is so immense in Jesus Christ. Cada cristiano que viene a Cristo, haya esa perla, haya ese tesoro en venir a Él y hallar en Él un perdón de todos los pecados que ha hecho en el pasado, el presente, el futuro. Está completamente limpio en Cristo. No va a dar cuentas por esos pecados porque ha sido limpiado por la sangre de Cristo y haya adoptación por el Padre y ahora soy un hijo de Dios. Y hallamos en Cristo también vida eterna, hermanos, que vamos a vivir con Él para todos siglo sobre siglo y nunca va a tener fin, hermanos. Él es un tesoro, es una perla. Right? Oh, so we are the merchant, brothers, who buys these things, who buys the land and buys the pearl. Somos nosotros ese mercader que viene y compra todo lo que viene con Cristo. ¿Eh? Esa perla, ese tesoro. And, but we need, the other lesson we see is that you see, when we find Jesus, it costs us everything. It costs us everything because you're now entering into a lordship relationship with God that you didn't have before. You didn't have a lordship. You were Lord and lost and headed for eternal damnation. Okay? But now that God is Lord again, as He should be, we're in a lordship and it costs us everything. Tenemos que entender punto tres, interpretación. Cuando encontramos a Jesús, nos cuesta todo. Nos cuesta todo porque estamos entrando en una relación de señorío que antes no lo teníamos. Nosotros éramos el Señor de nuestra vida y éramos pecadores y apartados de Dios y en el camino hacia al juicio de Dios. Pero ahora que hemos creído y hallado a Cristo, hermanos, entramos en una relación donde Él es Señor. Él es dueño. He is Lord and He is now owner. Okay? And so the lesson, brothers, the lesson for us is the greatest test of lordship is what you are going to do with your possession. Yeah? What you're going to do with your possession. Entonces, la mayor prueba del señorío es lo que vas a hacer con tus posesiones. ¿Qué vas a hacer con tus posesiones? Let me give you a little illustration of someone who went and found the pearl. Okay? De una ilustración de alguien que va y haya la perla fina. Yeah? ¿Cuánto? Oye, esa perla me gusta. Yeah, that's a very nice pearl. I like it. How much is it? And the seller says, which is God, he says, it's very expensive, but anybody can buy it. Anybody can buy it. What? What do you mean anybody can buy it? Yeah, anybody can buy it. Me imagino le dice el que está vendiendo la que es Dios, dice, la perla. Dice, sí, está muy cara la perla, pero no importa quién eres, cualquier persona puede comprarla. ¿Cómo que puedo comprarla si está muy cara? Sí, cualquier persona. ¿Y cómo? What do you mean by that? Well, it just costs you everything you have. It costs you everything you have. So, la razón que cualquier persona la puede comprar esa perla porque te va a costar todo lo que tienes. Simplemente es todo. ¿O de veras? Sí, a ver. Let me see. Okay, let me see let me start thinking about what I have, all right? And so the man would start thinking and he would say, well, I got $10,000 in the bank. Bueno, tengo $10,000 en el banco. It'll cost you that. Eso te va a costar los 10,000. ¿Qué más tienes? What else do you have? Oh, okay. I got $30 in my wallet. Tengo 30 en mi cartera. Ah, pues también dámelos. Okay. Give me those too. What else? ¿Qué más tienes? En la casa tengo unos 200. Oh, you have a house. Yeah. In my house, I have $200. Oh, you have a house. That'll cost the $200 and your house. Si tienes 200 en tu casa, te va a costar los 200 y tu casa también. ¿cómo que mi carro? Sí, ¿dónde voy a poner mi carro? That one's mine too. Yeah? I said everything, right? And where am I going to put my car if you take my house? Well, you've got a car? Well, that'll cost you that too. So, in fact, brothers, like I said, it'll cost you everything you have. Everything you are and everything you have. Not only you, everything you have, but you too. Me? Yes. No solo todo lo que tienes, pero tú también te va a costar. Vas a ser mío. And then the owner says, okay, here it is. Here's the pearl. Now everything that it costs you, hang on to it. Hang on to it. And use it. And you give it when I need it. I'll keep giving what you need and providing. But whenever I ask for something, you don't complain. Somebody crashes the car that's mine, okay? Because you loaned it out, you don't complain, okay? Because it's my car. Everything is now under my ownership. You manage it. That's what the relationship of lordship. Y Dios le dice ahora, ya que me has dado todo, tu casa, tu cartera, tu carro, todo es mío, ¿verdad? Incluyendo tú. Ahora, aquí está la perla. Pero todo lo que te costó, quédate con él, tú lo vas a administrar. Tú lo vas a administrar. Cuando yo te pida algo, tú me lo das porque es mío. Cuando yo te digo, dale un préstamo a este fulano, dale un dinero a este perdido aquí, tú se lo das porque es mío. Préstale el carro a fulano. Y si te lo choca, no te enojes porque es mío. Yo voy a proveer por ti, no te va a faltar nada. See, that's the relationship. That's what this is teaching. That's the lordship relationship. When I come to Jesus, I own nothing in this life, brothers, until the next life. Yeah? Jesus takes care of me and he continues to bless as I trust him. Yeah? Cuando yo vengo a Cristo en esta vida, hermano, yo soy dueño de nada. Él es dueño de mi alma, de todo lo que tengo. No me preocupo por nada, hermanos. Él me bendice en esta vida. Y cuando yo llegue allá, me está esperando lo que va a ser mío para toda la eternidad. That's lordship. You might be saying, well, I don't know. Quizás estás diciendo, que yo no sé de eso. I'd rather have $1,000,000 today than not have $1,000,000,000 later on. And then lose it, anyways. And then lose it, okay? At any time. You're in a danger of losing those $1,000,000 at any time. Yeah? Es como que alguien dice, bueno, yo no estoy seguro si quiero esa clase de relación. Mejor que yo prefiero $1,000,000 hoy, el cual lo va a perder pronto, que $1,000,000,000 después. Yeah? ¿Qué clase de pensar es eso? So, the lesson, brothers, the greatest test is what are you going to do with your possessions? ¿Qué vas a hacer con tus posesiones? And there's really a challenge there. Do I bring my possessions and put them under the lordship of my Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we're being challenged with. El reto para nosotros es que si yo voy a tomar mis posesiones y ponerlas bajo el señorío de Jesucristo. Señor, tú eres dueño de aquí en adelante. You are now owner, Lord. I haven't been living in that way. I haven't been thinking that way, Lord, since I've come to Christ. But from now on, Lord, I'm going to consider you the owner of all that I have. I'm going to consider you the owner of all that I have. Remember, he said, you hang on to it, but I'm the owner. Acuérdense, él dice, tú quédate con las cosas, pero yo soy el dueño ahora. Yo soy el dueño. Point three. Vamos a ver el punto tres. Here, brothers, we have the lordship test. And we're going to look at key scriptures that tests whether he is lord of our possessions. Yeah? That tests whether he's lord of our possessions. Vamos a ver aquí ciertas escrituras que demuestran y proponen a prueba si Jesús de veras es Señor de nuestras posesiones. Let's look at some facts. Let's look at some promises in the Word. Vamos a ver ciertos hechos o promesas que hay en la palabra de Dios. Verdades espirituales. These are spiritual truths that are unbreakable because God has made the promise. No pueden quebrarse estos principios porque Dios ha hecho la promesa. First of all, we need to understand what I do with my possessions reveals my heart. Okay? Reveals my heart. Lo que hago con mis posesiones revela mi corazón. Okay? ¿Dónde está mi corazón? Where is my heart at? Okay? It reveals based on what I do with the possessions that I have. Let's look at Mateo 6:21. Jesus said it very clearly when he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. Porque donde está tu tesoro, ahí estará también tu corazón. If your treasure is on earth, then your heart's here on earth. If your treasure is in heaven, brothers, your heart is about the things of heaven. Si tu tesoro está en la tierra, aquí está tu tesoro, ¿verdad? De tu pensar y tus deseos. Pero si tu tesoro está en el cielo, tu corazón está en hacer las cosas que Dios nos pide que hagamos, ¿verdad? How you spend your treasure, or where you spend your treasure, reveals your heart as well. ¿Dónde estás invirtiendo tu tesoro? Ahí también revela tu corazón. Ahí va a estar tu corazón. You can pretty much walk in anybody's, into people's houses, and almost everybody, you can kind of see where their heart is. Where their heart is. Puedes tú ver casi cualquier persona y ir a su casa y ahí está revelado casi para todos dónde está el corazón de esa persona. Like anybody can go probably to your teenager's room and see where their heart is. Okay, what things they love. Okay, and that's true in a spiritual sense. What Jesus is saying here, on an overall part of your life, how you're using and investing your possessions reveals where our heart is. Okay, now let's look at the second truth. God's kingdom comes first. Okay, that's in Matthew 6:33. Dice aquí, en número dos, el reino de Dios debe de venir primero. Let's read that verse. It says here, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that I need, even some that I want, okay, all these things will be added to you. Okay? They will be added to you. Dice aquí claramente, Mateo 6:33, buscar primero el reino, su reino y su justicia, y todas estas cosas serán añadidas. Todo lo que tú necesitas, lo que tú quieres, que es bueno, serán añadidas a tu vida porque tú pusiste primero el deseo de Dios en tu vida. When we invest and do God's will first, that's his kingdom. Keep his commandment, obey him. He says, I'm going to take care of you. There you ain't going to lack anything in your life. ¿Eh? No te va a faltar nada en tu vida porque yo te voy a cuidar. Tú estás cuidando mi negocio, yo te cuido a ti. You take care of my business, I take care of your business. That's how the Lord is putting it here in this command, this kingdom commandment. This is a priority issue. Esta es una prioridad que debemos de adoptar nosotros. And now look at this. This is a practical area that we even started to address when I asked you, when I said we're doing international missions this month, if you can give an offering to reach missionaries for their hard work in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's part of this kingdom work. Yeah. Parte de este reino, de obras del reino, es cuando yo mencioné las misiones internacionales y la ofrenda que estamos colectando para ellos, que les llegue a ellos, es una obra del reino también. So, let's see what it says here. God commands me to bring the whole tithe into his house, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Vamos a ver aquí porque en el punto 3, también Dios manda que traiga yo todo el diezmo a su casa. Todo el diezmo a su casa. Malachi 3, let's see what it says here. Bring, the commandment is. He just accused them, brothers. If I just give a little context. He just accused them in verse 9 and 8 of robbing God. Yeah. You guys are all robbers. You've been stealing from me. Yeah. Acaba de acusar Dios en Malaquías 3, capítulo 8 y el 9. Estaba acusando a su pueblo que le estaban robando a él, fíjate. Le estaban robando. And they had no clue. What do you mean, Lord? How can we rob you? How will we do? And he goes, and tithes and offerings. Those are mine, God says. And you have kept them for yourself. And I have withheld your blessing upon your life. Y le dijeron, ¿cómo te estamos robando a ti? Y él le dijo, en los diezmos y las ofrendas. Se han quedado con ellas ustedes y no me las han entregado. Entonces estaba diciendo que esas eran de él. Eran de él. Quería que se las traiga a su casa. And now he says, he makes a promise here. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Okay? Stop there. Aquí dice el mandato. Traer todo el diezmo al folí para que haya alimento en mi casa. Alimento, bendición, recurso, todo eso. Quería él que pueda ser listo en la casa de él, ¿verdad? And then he says, and test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Y le dice aquí la promesa el Señor. Y ponme en ahora en prueba en esto, dice el Señor de los ejércitos, si no os abriré las ventanas del cielo y derramaré para vosotros bendición hasta que sobreabunde. I've tested God decades and I found him to be true. Man. I have never lacked anything and his blessings have always been there. You've been part of that blessing. Yo he ponido a prueba a Dios. Año sobre año sobre año. Nunca le ha faltado yo ponerlo en prueba y traer a él su diezmo al alfolí. Y Dios me ha bendecido a mí. Nunca me ha faltado nada. Mis hijas, su colegio pagado. Pagado. Ahora ya están trabajando en Phoenix, ¿verdad? My daughter's education, brothers, paid for by the... I didn't pay for it. The Lord paid for it. And now they're living on their own over there in Phoenix, working in the careers. I put the Lord to the test, and God was found true. And what he's saying here, brothers, is if I don't pass the test, if you can't make it because you started bringing in the tithes and offerings for the kingdom of God, and you couldn't make it, you couldn't pay your bills, you couldn't buy your food, you couldn't pay, then stop tithing. Don't ever tithe again. That's basically what he's saying. Because I didn't keep my end. That's what he's saying. Lo que está diciendo Dios, si tú no puedes pagar tus biles, porque tú estás trayendo tu diezmo y ofrendas para el uso del reino de Dios, no puedes pagar, entonces nunca, jamás tengas que tú traerme ninguno de tus recursos, tus ofrendas o tu diezmo, porque yo te fallé a ti. That's the challenge. Ese es el reto. Ese es el reto. But the commandment is clear. He's saying, I own you. I own all that you have. But the kingdom of God must come first, and we must get the gospel to the ends of the earth so that others might be saved too. And that costs money, resources. There are people in need around you, and that costs also resources. I'm going to send some of your resources to help people around, maybe your neighbor, to be in the form of good deeds. God is always at work. Dios siempre está trabajando, hermanos. Pero tenemos que poner el reino de Dios, como él dijo aquí. ¿Verdad? Y ese es el reto, hermanos, para nosotros. Now, let's look at the benefits. ¿Qué son los beneficios si tomamos a Dios por serio? If we take God serious, what are the benefits? Place God first and he will take care of my needs. Okay? We'll take care of my... Pon a Dios primero y él, ¿qué? Se va a ocupar de mis necesidades. You will always have enough. Not just enough, but enough to be a blessing even to others. And take care of other people's needs as well. Because when he said he's going to open the windows of heaven, that they would overflow. That you would have more than enough. And that you could be a blessing even to those who don't have anything. Y dijo él que va a rebosar. No solo va a proveer solo para mis necesidades y ahí se acabó. No. Que la ventana está abierta y que va a bajar esa bendición y va a rebosar para que haya también, podamos ayudar a otros que no tienen nada. He'll meet the needs of others, even. So, test God with the tithe or the offerings and his blessing will overflow in my life. That's the benefit, brothers. Poner a Dios en prueba con el diezmo y su bendición se desbordará en mi vida. That's a wonder. We put it up every, right before the offering, we have that screen, and they got those, that's Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Again, the promise of the Lord. Yeah. Cada vez que tomamos la ofrenda, hermanos, está en la pantalla ahí en Malaquías 3:10, para que nos recuerde el Señor de sus bendiciones. So, the decision, what will I do in the area of my possessions? Okay. Now that you have the truth about God, what lordship means. Ya que sabemos qué quiere decir el señorío de Jesús sobre nosotros, ¿qué voy a hacer ahora con mis posesiones? ¿Qué voy a hacer ahora con mis posesiones? It starts, brothers, by dedicating yourself and your possessions today and saying, Lord, I recognize that you own it all. Forgive me for living otherwise, doing otherwise. Vamos a orar, hermanos, y vamos a hoy tener la oportunidad de dedicarnos a nosotros y nuestras posesiones a Dios. He will tell you when he wants something from you. Okay? He's Lord. I'm not Lord. He will tell you when he's asking something that belongs to him that he wants to disperse in a different direction. He'll tell you. But you just got to dedicate yourself and say, Lord, you're right. You are the owner. Hay que declarar hoy, someternos a Dios y decir, de aquí en adelante yo someto todas mis posesiones a tu señorío. Cuando tú necesitas algo, Señor, aquí va a estar. Yo sé que todo lo que viene va a venir de ti. And everything that comes to me is because it's coming through the hand, the loving hand of God. Let's all stand. Vamos a ponernos de pie. As we move into Christmas, brothers, and the buying and the giving of gifts, it has to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Okay? You need to run everything by Him so that you use His resources wisely. Ya que entramos a esta tiempo de navideño, hermanos, donde estamos comprando y dando regalos, tenemos que poner todas esas compras bajo el señorío del Señor también, para que Él nos dirija. Él no nos quiere que nos pongamos en deuda, porque estás poniendo a Dios en deuda. Y hay que orar antes de comprar. Y decir, Señor, ¿qué le puedo dar a esta persona? Let's all pray. Vamos a orar. Father, thank you so much for reminding us of the truth that you own us and you own everything we have. Even though sometimes we don't remember or act like it, Lord. But thank you for reminding us this morning. Gracias, Señor, que nos recuerdas que tú eres el dueño de todo y que dueño de todo lo que tenemos. Pero aún cuando no nos acordamos, Señor. And Lord, today we want to make an intelligent spiritual decision of submitting our possessions under your Lordship. Esta mañana queremos hacer una decisión inteligente, espiritual, y someter todas nuestras posesiones bajo tu señorío, bajo tu control, under your control, Lord, so that it would glorify, my life would glorify you, para que mi vida te glorifique a ti. So that, Lord, one day, Lord, the riches that were invested in the kingdom, Lord, would one day be waiting for us in heaven. Para que un día esas riquezas invertidas en este reino, Señor, que estás avanzando, pueda estar esperándonos en el cielo. Y no llegar, Señor, pobre. And not come to you, Lord, without anything. We want to glorify you. Queremos glorificarte a ti. Bless your people, Lord, as they go out to be the light, Lord, and the salt of the earth. Give them strength and faith and joy, Lord, of knowing, Lord, you take care of them. Lord, we worry for nothing, for you are our God. Take that, they would take that joy, Lord, into a dark world and be that light. Ayuda a tu pueblo que avance en este mundo con esa luz, Señor, del Señorío, sabiendo que tú eres el dueño, no nos preocupamos por nada, que solo hacemos lo que tú nos dices, Señor. Oh, bendícelos, Señor, y úsalos que puedan ellos avanzar el Evangelio, Señor, aún con su vida y su actitud y sus palabras. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen. Amen.